Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in our prayer for illumination. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen Word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may hear and then proclaim your good news of abundant life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is the 23rd Psalm. Let's listen to God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O Lord, our shepherd, our rock and redeemer, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a confession to make. Unlike David, I don't know a lot about sheep. I'm a suburban-born kid, after all, who's never lived on or near a farm. A number of years ago, right after Carrie and I finished graduate school and before we began our first permanent jobs, we had a great opportunity to travel through England and Scotland very cheaply. Along the way, we ran across a lot of grazing sheep. And I have to say, I was not very impressed by them. I began to agree what I had always heard. Sheep don't score really high on the animal intelligence scales. My dad, who did grow up in a farming community, always liked this question. Do you know why God created sheep? So the chickens would feel smarter. I know even less about being a shepherd. A number of years ago, before I entered the ministry, the associate pastor of my church, my wife, had this creative idea about having an Advent program at church that required a live lamb for the children to see and pet. And guess who was responsible for picking up that lamb? The minister's spouse. I traveled out to a farm outside of Baltimore where a brave farmer was willing to loan us a lamb. Had the lamb just in one of those little animal cages like you see dogs and cats in. I put it in the back of my station wagon and started to drive back to the church. Unfortunately, the roads were kind of curvy, and I forgot, I have to admit, that the lamb was back there. All of a sudden, as I went around a curve, I heard the sound of the cage rolling over across the station wagon. Fortunately, the lamb was not harmed, except for his psyche. We had a great program with the children, but I had the hardest time getting that lamb back into the cage. It was almost as if he didn't trust me. I don't know much about sheep or shepherds, but I do know a lot about the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 has been a very important Bible passage for me, and I know I'm not alone. A number of years ago, or several years ago, at my former church, I led a men's retreat, and for the closing worship, instead of me offering a meditation, I invited the men to share a verse or passage that had meant something to them and why. And the one that was cited far more often than any other was Psalm 23. One man pulled out a battered card that his father had given him that had this Psalm 23 on it. He said that he always carried it with him so he could pull it out. And another man remembered how Psalm 23 had been so meaningful when he had gone in for very serious surgery. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or some translations put it, I shall not lack for anything I need. It's all here in this psalm, isn't it? All that we face and all that we need. Green pastures and being fed. Still waters and being refreshed. Guidance along the path when we are searching or when we get lost. Protection from that which would do us harm. The shepherd's presence in the darkest valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death, dwelling with God forever. And Psalm 23 becomes an even richer resource for our lives when we read it with John 10 and heard it like we did this morning. Because in John 10, Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd, which can also be translated, I am the true and genuine shepherd. John 10 personalizes Psalm 23. Excuse me. The shepherd described in Psalm 23 is a shepherd we meet in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us a portrait of what a model shepherd of people looks like. And Jesus makes clear that his relationship with us sheep is personal. He knows us personally, and we in turn can know his voice if we listen for it. John 10 also intensifies Psalm 23. While Psalm 23 shows us what a good shepherd will do for us, John tells us the cost that Jesus is willing to pay to protect us and save us. He is no hired hand who will abandon us. After all, a human shepherd, even a good one, might do his best to protect the sheep, but would that shepherd give up his life for a bunch of sheep? Jesus would, and Jesus did. And as he makes clear to the disciples in John 10, giving up his life was not something forced on Jesus. He did it willingly and out of love for us, silly sheep as we are. John 10 and Psalm 23 are realistic about life. Both passages assume that there'll be dangers out there, predators, dark valleys, not just green pastures and still waters. We will face them, but not on our own. Jesus, our true and good shepherd, will be with us and for us. But let's be clear, to say that Jesus is our good shepherd does not mean that Jesus is going to be operating on our timetable or according to our expectations. We belong to him. He does not belong to us. So there will be times when prayers seem unanswered, times when we cannot see Christ at work, times when we wonder, where is he? Or what's taken him so long? Yet, he is there. He is here. And not just anywhere. Earlier in John 10, Jesus says that he is the shepherd who is the gate for the sheep. Now, when you picture a sheepfold, you may be picturing a fence with a gate that can be locked, like we see in many a farm around here or in old westerns, but that's not the way it was in Jesus' day. Then they rely much more on natural formations, rocks and corners next to the hill to kind of hem the sheep in. There would be a gap where the sheep would go in and out, and the shepherd would literally stand there or during the night sleep there to protect the sheep, to keep them from going out, to protect predators from coming in. Jesus, the shepherd, in other words, was a literal gate. As one colleague notes, shepherds stand between sheep and the problem. Wild animals cannot destroy the sheep because the shepherd is there. In the same way, Jesus, the good shepherd, stands between us and every problem that we might face, between us and anything that might do us harm, or anything or anyone that might do others harm. When we need to stand up to predators of injustice or abuse of others, the shepherd goes before us. Try doing this. If there is some person or some situation in your life that's problematic, or that you are even fearful of, picture Jesus, the shepherd, standing there in between. Sometimes, perhaps like some of you, I wake up about 3:30 in the middle of the night, and before I can roll over and go back to sleep, there's this voice that says, "Whoa, whoa, Carter, there's a lot you can be worrying about." And foolish as I am, I often listen to that voice. I worry about what I forgot to do that day or what I need to do tomorrow. I worry about something my daughters or their families are facing. I worry about the church or something it's facing or the people in it. Or I worry about this world and something we're facing, whether it's a war or another election cycle or some injustice committed against other people. The list of things I can worry about can be really long, especially in the middle of the night. But the best antidote I have found for those worries, one I don't always rely on, to be honest, one that doesn't always work, but one that works more than others, to take a moment in the dark with my eyes closed and to breathe in and out a breath prayer, inhaling and exhaling, phrase by phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," in Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to still waters. He restoreth my soul. He helps me find the way. He was with me in the darkest valleys. I need not fear anything." Not always, but more often than not, I find in those words a reminder that Jesus is standing between me and anything that I might fear or worry about. I'm not alone. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23 reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd throughout it all. When we are hungry or thirsty, when we are full, or when we are on the mountaintop of a spiritual high or in the deepest valley. As someone has written, the psalm is a song about the present. It is about life. It invites us to discover God's guidance, God's company, God's protection in our daily lives, day by day, right now, right here. Sometimes people feel that Psalm 23 is limited to funerals or is limited to only the big stuff in life, life-threatening illnesses, the death of loved ones, the times when we have really big worries and big fears. The thinking is that God's got a lot more issues to worry about. How can we dare to bring that before him? After all, what is what we're worrying about compared to global warming or wars in the world? You ever feel that way? To be sure, we do want to maintain some perspective, and we don't want to trivialize God or treat God like some cosmic bellhop or magic genie there to give us whatever we want. But nowhere in this psalm does it say that the Lord is our shepherd only in the darkest valleys. Nowhere does it tell us that the Lord wants us to wait on praying until things get really serious. Because prayer is not just making requests. Prayer is a conversation with the one who made us, with the one who loves us enough to die for us. What parents, after all, want their child to wait until their problems get really serious before they come and talk with us? What marriage or friendship will be healthy or strong if we only talk about things together when things are not going well or are really serious? The big stuff, the big problems. Good relationships are built on sharing the daily stuff of life. And so it is in our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the world, a big claim these days. But this claim is just as big. He is also the shepherd who knows us individually, who wants us to know his voice, who cares about us eternally. He is always ready to listen to us and lead us. And when we get lost, he's always ready to go out and find us and bring us back home, if that is what we want. I know a young adult who's not a member of this church, who's dealing with a lot, substance abuse, trauma, depression. He's getting good professional counseling. He's learning some techniques to cope when tough times come along. And I'm glad that he's getting that help. But I also hope, above all else, that he will learn to listen for the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hope that he'll know the presence of the one who will guide him when he feels lost or the way seems unclear, and will stand between him and anything that might harm him. I hope that he'll come to know the voice and the power and the presence of the one who loves him and has even laid down his life for him. Because knowing all that can make all of the difference. And I believe that with my whole heart. A couple of generations ago, people in Scotland would gather for what are called ceilidhs. And there would be music, and there would also, because there wasn't a lot of other entertainment at that time, there would be people getting up, and they would share things that they had memorized and recited, all ages. It was all there. One of these ceilidhs, there was a famous Scottish actor there. And so, since he was, although unexpected, celebrated, the thought was, let's get him up and say something, that we can hear him use his talents. And so they asked him to stand up and declare Psalm 23. He did, and he did it wonderfully, with all of his thespian talents, and the people were dazzled. As one observer said later, and once telephone books came along, I think he could read any telephone book and make it exciting. Now, the thing about those Scottish ceilidhs, though, it wasn't just kind of the professional trained people who would participate. Anyone could do it. And one time, an older woman got up to share something, and she got stage struck, and all she could do was to share what she had memorized, Psalm 23. And so she did it, stumbling along, but speaking from the heart, in a voice unlike that actor's that you could barely hear. When she got to the end, there was hardly a dry eye in the audience. They were not dazzled, but they were moved. And that actor, to his credit, recognized that. And he got up on the stage with her, he hugged her, and he said, I know the psalm. She knows the shepherd. Friends, that is my hope for all of us, with all of my heart, that we too might know the shepherd, the one who knows us, the one who cares for us, the one who protects us, the one who will always be there. Because when we know the shepherd, we too will be able to say, I lack for nothing. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.